Hello? Hello? I'm on now? All right. I sounded pretty loud to myself. Okay. All right. Again, thank you, moms, and thank you, guests, for being with us today. It's kind of mixed emotions for Pastor Johnny today, because this will be my last Mother's Day with you. 2 weeks from today, y'all. Can you believe that? My, how time is flying. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm just going to let you remain seated. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. But I want to encourage you to read 1 Samuel 1 through 1 Samuel 4 for the story of Samuel. But notice in verse 27 and verse 28, "For this child," Hannah said, "I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him unto the Lord. For as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Biblical wisdom for a contemporary mother. We are living in an ever-changing world. We're living in a world that almost before technology gets off the drawing board into the manufacturing line to be manufactured and gets into our hands, it's almost considered obsolete. It's changing faster than cornflakes. And all of the things that we are facing today as parents, particularly as mothers, because I'm convinced that the mother that rocks the cradle is the mother that steers this nation. I'm convinced that the value that you impart to your children will have lasting and eternal consequences. And so I would like to challenge us today that we look at some biblical wisdom for a contemporary mother. You young mothers today are certainly living in a day and age that's much different from your parents and even your grandparents and your great-grandparents. I asked Roma the other day, we're driving by and a house, and I looked and there was a person sitting in a rocking chair, and I said, "Whatever happened to the rocking chair on the front porch?" I sat in TCBY Thursday night eating an ice cream with my wife, and I looked at two teenagers, a boy and a girl, and they were texting one another, and they could have put their arms around one another. Our world is so vastly different today. How do we plan? How do we prepare? How do we position our children to live in a structure and a culture of postmodern Christianity? How can we help them to engage and live out their Christian faith and their Christian values in a culture where right is now wrong and wrong is now right? What can we do to ensure that their lives do not adopt the values of the very culture that they have been birthed in and that God is raising them up to bring change? Well, I want to give you what I believe are some pointers from the Scripture. Number one, teach your children to live a life that honors God in everything they do. The conversation that you have needs to be about everything from food to entertainment, where they go, how they view their bodies, how they view their sexuality, who they hang out with, their friends' beliefs, and their friends' values, etc., etc. Teach them that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Teach them to honor God in all that they do. Whatever you eat or whatever you drink, whatever you do, whatever you say. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Paul said that we are to honor God. You begin to bend the plant when the plant is tender and young. You begin at an early age to provide structure to that life, to help them to understand that culture in and of itself is at variance against God and God's desire and God's great plan for their life. Number two, teach your children about biblical authority, God's authority in their lives. As God's word is forever settled in heaven and cannot be broken, altered, or changed, help them to understand that they are designed by a creator God. And the creator God has given them their lives to live for him and him alone with a divine plan and a divine purpose. And that's the reason that they were created. Therefore, the Bible reveals God's plan. Expose them at an early age. John would always criticize his mother in a nice way, but he'd say, "Mom, do we have to read 4 devotions tonight?" And his mom would look at him and say, "Yes, son, we have to read 4 devotions tonight." Well, as you heard me say earlier when we were dedicating those babies, it took him a while. Actually, he arrived a little earlier than I thought he was going to arrive. He didn't quite make it till 30 till he realized how smart his mother was. And those values began to take deep root in his heart and deep root in his life. Moms, if you never expose your child to the Word of God, you're robbing them of the very spiritual food, the very nourishment that has eternal, significant spiritual consequences. Malnourishment will take place in their lives. And when the trials and the tribulations and the troubles and the persecutions come upon them as they begin to grow and as they begin to develop their values and as they begin to understand the culture that they're living in, they're largely going to be influenced. Yes, by those early formidable years. Don't wait until they're a grown plant. Start now. Start today. So the Bible reveals God's plan for living their life, for living it to the fullest. It will help them to know how to think correctly, how to act appropriately, how to find real purpose in all that they seek to accomplish and do. Teach them to study the Word of God. Teach them how to study the Word of God. In order to do that, you have to learn yourself. Amen? Hello? Look up here. Don't miss what I'm about to say. If you are malnourished in the Word of God, how about your children? So when we spoke earlier in our child and baby dedication service, we reminded those parents that it was really a dedication of their life to the authority, to the will and the purpose of plan of God in their lives, that God had entrusted these lives to them to nurture, to develop, to give them structure, to give them a solid foundation, to give them a hope to stand on in a world that is ever changing every day. Teach your children the real purpose Jesus was born. I find today that if we're not careful, we teach the stories. And we think because we've taught the stories that our children understand and have a connection with Christ in their life. And it's so easy to fill their little heads with information, and that's not a bad thing. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But if we're not careful, we'll think that we have inoculated them, and in reality, we haven't. All we have given them is a false premise. Because information alone, you see, they have to see that transformation in your life. They have to see the reality of the Word of God in your life. They have to see the reality of the transformation and the incarnate Word in your life as it changes your behavior. And you help them to understand that it changes their behavior. They begin to understand the gospel message then, not just the gospel story. And there's a difference. How is this applicable to my life? It takes time. You can't take 10 minutes and read a Bible story and call it a devotional or call it a Bible study. You have to take time to let God speak to their little hearts, to his little heart and to her little heart, and to ask their questions. Let them ask their questions. We told Joni and John when they were growing up, there's not a dumb question. There's not a stupid question. Parents, listen to me, this old preacher this morning. They're going to ask somebody. They're going to go to somebody. And I'd much rather them come to their mother. I'd much rather them come to the dad who's grounded in the authority of the Word of God. They're going to go to somebody and ask those questions. Take time to allow them to develop their thought process. Take time to allow them to understand the why and the how and the when and the where and the who it's all about. Help them to develop mentally, emotionally, physically, but most importantly, spiritually, through evaluating daily their lives. Roma would sit down with Joni and John, and she would spend sometimes hours talking about what went on that day at school with them. Parents, you cannot be, listen to me, you can have your kids so involved in everything and neglect and think because you've got them involved that you're inoculating them from the world and the values of the world and the culture they live in. When the best thing you can do is be a mom, the greatest calling on your life is to be a mom. And let them ask those hard questions. The goal is not just to have informed children, but gospel-centered children with a heartfelt love for Jesus and a passion for him in their lives. And children can understand that. Help them to understand the seriousness of sin. But don't stop there. Help them to understand the magnificent love of a Heavenly Father. If we're not careful, I talked to somebody this week. We preachers are guilty of preaching on the fruit. You can talk about the fruit all you want to, the lust and the immorality and the lying and the stealing and the cheating. Until you deal with the heart, until you help them to understand it's in their heart. Teach your children basically age-appropriate sexuality. I knew you didn't think you'd ever hear me say that. And I'm careful to address this in a manner this morning, knowing this will be the last time I preach a Mother's Day message, perhaps. But if there was ever a day and a time that age-appropriate sexuality needs to be taught in our homes, it's today. I'm not against public education. Friend, listen to me this morning. Moms, listen to me this morning. Guests, listen to this old preacher this morning. God designed the home. It was the first institution God designed. And God intends. And when you study the Old Testament and you study the first five books of the law, you find that all of those books that were written under the leadership of the Holy Spirit through the penman of Moses, you find that they were written to guide every area of our lives, to give us instruction, to give us guidance, to give us wisdom, to give us direction, to help us to make the right choices and the right decisions. People make this comment to me today, and I turn around and I look at them. They say, well, we're not living under the old covenant today. We're living under the new covenant. Well, bless my pea-picking heart. I guess Paul didn't know what he said, was talking about when he said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the child of God, the child, the baby. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that they're born with a sin nature. It's hard to believe that precious little innocent thing that you're holding in your arms has a rebellious spirit, a rebellious heart. And so we start early. We're teaching them age-appropriate sexuality, how to evaluate the plethora of information on this subject that is available to them today, particularly through social media, and how it relates to them in their social interaction with other children. You see, children need to know who they are, and it begins with Genesis. You can't understand the ending unless you understand the beginning. Let me do it this way. The beginning unless you understand the ending. You have to have a view of who you are in God, in Christ. Your values, why He created you, why He gave you to your parents, and you understand that He has a divine plan and a divine purpose. Little boy said, God didn't make any junk. How true. I heard that somewhere, so I thought I'd just pass it on to you. But think about that for a minute. God's never made a mistake. Not a child that's ever been born is a mistake. Don't tell your child they're a mistake. They'll find somebody to tell them that they aren't a mistake. In the arms of the wrong individual. Nurture them early on as you teach them and talk wholesomely about why God created sex and gave them their sexuality and designed them just the way they were designed. In His image and in His likeness. And this conversation must begin early and continue throughout their life. Our son is 35 years old. And he called me the other day and asked me a question that literally blew my mind. And he is a man. And he's a pastor. But he remembers the values that were given to him by his parents, particularly his mother. I was somewhat of an absent father. I was like a lot of pastors. Had not I had Miss Roma at home. Teach your children how to interact with a God, their God, at heart level. Help them to understand that God is in their life already. That God is honoring their life already by the talents, by the skills, by the ability, the energies, the knowledge that He's helping them to develop. Help them to understand that their heart is where He desires to live. Help them to understand that their behavior is an issue of their heart, which is in reality an attitude of their heart towards God, their Creator. Good or bad behavior is an issue of their heart. How do you change the fruit? You change the root. Until you deal with the root. The root is in the heart. Jeremiah reminds us in chapter 17 and verse 9 that the heart is deceitful. That's hard to believe. When I look at little Archer, when I looked at Annie, when I looked at Asher when they were born, it was hard to believe that in that little body is a deceitful heart already. That is already pruned to adapt the lifestyle of that fallen nature. That Adamic nature. Teach your children the issues of the heart. That all that happens in their life, every decision they make is an issue of the heart. The mind will say, no, it's wrong, Johnny, don't do it. The heart will say, ooh, I love that snicker. It won't add, but maybe, a half ounce. Some people wear their sneakers. I eat my Snickers. Finally, teach your children they are of intrinsic value and worth. How do you value your child? Our house is a wreck. You all know we got flooded last Sunday morning at 5 o'clock, and our house is a wreck, so we're camping out in the bedroom. We're drinking coffee in there. We're eating our snacks in there. And of course, what little bit of TV we have been watching. Last night, we turned on the TV to watch the news. Y'all, I counted the first five news items on TV were about broken, sordid, dysfunctional family issues that had led in deaths to children and to parents. I turned it off. I muted it. I heard Roma say, "I can't listen to that." And I muted it immediately. And I thought to myself, that's the world that Annie and Asha and Archer are going to face, and the rest of our babies. That's the culture. You know, listen, can I take a minute and be funny? I remember in school, my age, now some of you are a little bit younger than me, but I remember in school we settled our differences with a fist fight. I remember my first fight I got in. And I was just a little thing. I mean, I was a bean. I was a bean. And if you dropped a hat, I'd fight. I had German temper in me. More, you didn't cross me. I've had my eye blackened, my nose bloodied, my lip cut. Then I came out smiling every time. Then it moved from fist fights to knives. Y'all remember that? I'm trying to make you think this morning. Now it's moved to what? Guns. And it's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. You young mothers and you young parents today, you are facing a culture and a time unlike the one that I grew up in. Most of us, we had a fight at school on the school grounds. We got up. We even hugged one another of all dumb things. I don't know why we did it. And if you'd ask us why we fought, we really didn't know. But it was just a part of the pecking order at that time. It's not a part of the pecking order now. Teach your child that they are of intrinsic value. Help them to understand that God created them, that God formed them, and that God gave them life, and that God has a divine plan and a divine purpose for them. Help them to understand that He's chosen the very best for them. The very best. Give them the opportunity to learn early on in life how to make those decisions that are of intrinsic value to their lives, to the homes and the families, the marriages that they will one day. And Pam, you did a great job. You just walked us right through raising our children. Whoever said it was easy? Mm-mm. Once you're a parent, you're always a parent. Once a mother, always a mother. Allow them to make choices. I remember one time I gave John permission to make a choice. He made the choice and it wasn't a good choice. And I bit my tongue. I sat down with him. I put him in the vehicle and we went for a ride. And I just asked him, "Son, what criteria, what did you use to help you arrive at making that decision?" You've made an adult decision now. Adult decisions have adult consequences. I tried to help him to work through that so he would learn from his mistakes. Not just condemn him, not just criticize him, not just holler at him, not just scream at him. John and I never had one argument. He went out and he tested everything that his mother and I taught him. Teach them how to make decisions that are of intrinsic value. Help them develop the mind that God has given them so that they will be able one day to stand on their own two feet and make wise choices and wise decisions. Allow them that privilege. As parents, help them to learn how to hear the voice of God and how that God can speak to them and how that God can guide them and how that they can hear God's voice. That means that as a parent, you have to learn how to hear God's voice too. Model it before them. Live it out before them. There is a promise in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, as Pam quoted for us this morning. Train up that child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. God gave us that promise. And it's not a do as I told you to do, but help them to understand how to do. Be a coach. Be a mentor. Be a friend. But most importantly, be a parent. And love them unconditionally. Help them to hear and to recognize when God is speaking in their life. Finally, quickly, model appropriate behavior. Model appropriate choices before them. If you use profanity, guess what? The likelihood of them, they're going to use profanity. If you chew, guess what? The likelihood of they're going to chew. I remember, listen, my dad smoked, so guess what I wanted to do? Smoke. I remember asking my dad when I could smoke. When I could start smoking. My dad finally quit. One of the reasons that I ran for the ministry, for God's call on my life for 7 years, was because I was still smoking. Listen to me. And I was so convicted it was wrong until I wouldn't allow myself to surrender to the ministry. Until one night, after my wife's father died, I prayed a prayer that my God answered and heard and took the taste out of my mouth and the desire out of my heart, and I've been free ever since. Now listen to me this morning. They're going to model your behavior. Mama, what they see you do, Daddy, what they see you do, they're going to do. Because there's an automatic assumption, just like there was in you when you grew up, that what Daddy and Mama did was okay. What Daddy and Mama said was okay. So if you criticize, well, let me don't go there. But if you criticize, if you backbite, guess what? They're going to learn to develop your values. By the time a child is 5 years of age, 75% of what that child is going to be and his values or her values already determined. The Catholic Church will tell you this. When I was going to the University of Illinois, we did a study on this, and the Catholic Church will tell you, give us a child to the age of 7. They may not remain a faithful Catholic, but they will most likely remain a Catholic for the rest of their life. Would to God that we so gave the tools to our children that when they reach 5 and 7 years of age, they can hear the voice of God like Samuel did and simply say, "Hear my Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Remember, children are a heritage from the Lord. They're entrusted to you and I. And you never finish raising them. One of the advantages that I have now is I'm looked at as not a parent, but as a grandparent. And all of a sudden, grandparents get real smart. And I've learned that. Roman, I've watched that happen. You grandparents sitting here today in this service, you can speak into the heart of that child when no one else can. So grandmothers and grandfathers, I challenge you with all that's in my heart. I challenge you. Help those children of yours. Support them. Stand with them. Encourage them. Be there when that child may not go to that parent, but they'll come to you. Let them talk. Be a big teddy bear and just listen. Help them to find their way to Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me, please?